Hi, I'm Lori Bransky, bringing you the Draft Prospect Review Podcast, one of the many official podcasts of the New England Patriots. It's Tuesday, March 6th, and it's very cold here at Gillette Stadium, but don't worry, we still have Brian Lowe, Tom Casale, Andy Parr, and Paul Perillo giving you the review.
Thanks, Lori. Back for another Draft Prospect Review, and on this show, we're going to talk about how the Patriots' recent moves, the moves that they've made since free agency began on Friday, affects the Patriots' draft. Now, the three big signings on Saturday, well, one really big signing, Adalis Thomas, and then the additions of Kyle Brady and Sammy Morris as well. And then on Monday, the Patriots trading for Wes Welker. He had been a restricted free agent. The Patriots trading two draft picks, reportedly two draft picks, to the Dolphins. So right there, obviously, that affects the Patriots' draft. They lose a second rounder, their own second rounder, and their own seventh rounder. That according to reports on that trade. So right there, it means that the Patriots go from eight picks overall in this draft to six. But we'll start with Adalis Thomas, guys, and how do you think the Patriots will go into the draft in terms of their linebacker position having made this move? Does it affect their needs at linebacker in terms of where they might go in the draft?
I don't think so. I think they still need young linebackers, especially in the middle. I mean, you know, he's not going to play much middle linebacker. So you got your John Beeson, your Patrick Willis's, your first round middle linebacker. So if you want to go inside linebacker in the first round, I don't think this really changes it much.
The only thing it does, it makes you not reach. Like if you, you clearly needed a starter at outside linebacker somewhere, whether it was free agency or the draft. If you got to draft weekend and didn't have a starter, well, now maybe you're trying to squeeze a guy in that is really, oh, he needs a couple years. Well, you know what? We need a starter right away, so we have to draft him 24 or 28. When by most accounts, there's not a lot of, you know, immediate impact, especially outside linebackers ready to go. So I agree with Tom. With Thomas in the mix, I think now you can maybe focus on getting the young guy and maybe that young inside guy who can come in, get some reps, but not necessarily have to be a starter as a rookie.
Yeah, well, linebacker specifically, anyway, it doesn't have to be outside, inside, whatever. They needed to find a starter. I agree with you guys. And they did that, so that does prevent them from just taking a linebacker for the sake of taking one. Now they can take one if they think it's the right guy. And I do think that that's still going to be very much on the radar, because if we thought that the core was getting old, it didn't get much younger with a guy who's going to be 30 at the start of the season. So I agree with the boys here, Brian. I think that they still are going to have linebacker on the radar screen.
Right. If you play a 3-4 base defense, that means you need four starters, but it means you really need five or six guys that you can rely on because, let's face it, all four starters aren't going to play all 16 games, and youth at that position certainly is in need. The only other young guys that they have are all undrafted free agents, guys who maybe they'll play a special teams role, maybe they'll be able to contribute at linebacker, but you need some of those studs as well. Now, in terms of tight end and running back, the guys that they signed, Kyle Brady and Sammy Morris, are role players. Kyle Brady filling the role that in part filling the role that Daniel Graham had filled. He's older and maybe not as productive at this point in his career. And then Sammy Morris, backup running back. I mean, he defines backup running back. He's an AFC East lifer as well. Buffalo Bills and Miami Dolphins are who he played for. But are those two positions, tight end and running back, still positions that they could target even early in the draft because of, you know, the overall set of players that they have at those positions?
I don't think so. I think if they were going to draft one of those positions, it would have been later in the draft anyway. If you look at the running back position, it's not a great year. You got your two main guys and then kind of falls off and everyone's kind of fighting for a position. But I wouldn't expect them to draft a running back in the second or third round anyway. Now, I could be wrong, but then we know they're going to draft a tight end. I was just thinking more along the lines of round six.
Right.
I think it actually does the same thing it does at linebacker. Because you lose Dylan, and hypothetically, if you go into draft weekend without having signed a veteran, the guy you draft might have to be your backup running back. You know, a guy like Tony Hunt or any of these guys you take might actually be forced into a position to play more. Now you have Sammy Morris. If you draft a guy, you can develop him into whatever role you might foresee down the line. So I think it keeps the options more wide open and keeps you from being forced to do anything.
Well, I think I kind of lean a little bit more to Tom, because I think I don't think they were going to take a running back or a tight end the first day anyway, but now I think there's no chance of that happening unless something really crazy happens that we don't know about. I think they look maybe an earlier second day for a running back, you know, somewhere down the line, maybe if they find good value in the fifth round or something. But I don't see this as being anything that they need to do, whereas Andy's right. They may have felt the need before they signed Morris to find somebody, anybody, that could potentially serve as a backup. Now they don't need that.
And, you know, it's a different type of role. I mean, with Dylan, and we'll get more into this, I'm sure, at different times, you guys at TFW in Progress and on our Ross report. But, you know, whereas Dylan, he may have to settle for a backup type of role. He wasn't going to really be interested in doing that here. Where, and Sammy Morris, pretty much accustomed to that kind of role. So you can give the ball, put the ball in Lawrence Maroney's hands more and let Morris be the backup. Now, in terms of Welker, obviously wide receiver, he had a lot of production there with the Dolphins last year, but punt returns, kickoff returns, really a huge part of what he was able to do with the Dolphins. The Patriots wide receiver position for a year now has been, you know, not a lot of depth. Where does Welker slot in? And
well said, in the slot.
Right, in the slot. And again, the same question, does it affect their outlook at wide receiver in terms of who they might try to be interested in the draft? It's a draft that we know there are a bunch of guys at wide receiver who are likely going to be first-round picks, and the Patriots have two first-round picks. Does this affect what they might want to do at wide receiver in the draft?
Maybe a little bit in terms of if they had went out and got a bigger receiver, maybe in the draft they look for a receiver who can return the ball some too. Now that you have Welker, you look at a Courtney Taylor from Auburn, a bigger guy who's not going to return kicks. Maybe along those lines, but I still think you have to go out and get some receiver help, whether it be another free agent or through the draft.
Well, with that trade, they traded their own second-round pick, 28th pick in that round, 60th, I believe it was, overall, and they traded their seventh-round pick. Let's just run down real quick the six picks that the Patriots do currently have. They have two first-rounders, 24th and 28th, nothing in the second round, and then they have their own third, which is the tail end of the third round. They have their own fourth-round pick, tail end of the fourth round. They don't have a five. They have a pair of six-round picks, their own and the one from Arizona for Brandon Gorin, and then they have a seventh. So they have six picks right now, and that doesn't include the compensatory picks that they're going to get, probably about three of them at some point, maybe even a high one, and I think the earliest that those come are end of the third round, I believe.
That's correct.
Do you think that any of these moves, in terms of trades, what do you guys think about their chances of keeping all these picks, making trades? Do they keep the two? Anything new that you guys think as a result of their aggressive start to free agency in terms of any wheeling and dealing with their picks?
Well, I think, the signing of Thomas takes you out of having to find a starter right there. So if you see a guy now, you're sitting at 24, 28, that you want to trade up and get one single playmaker, you know, a guy we've talked about. Well, first of all, you know, using the draft value chart, they could get as high as the eighth pick in the draft with those two picks, just basing it strictly on the chart that I'm sure everybody's seen on the internet and that, you know, the Cowboys kind of invented way back when, but apparently a lot of teams still use. They could get up as high as eight. When you get up there, you're talking about right at the end of what a lot of people believe is the blue chip impact playmakers, and a guy Tom is madly in love with, as he usually is with certain athletes, LeRon Landry, a safety out of LSU who is just a playmaker. That he epitomizes playmaker. Now, if you want to go get one of those, now that you no longer have to fill a couple other needs maybe, you can do that. You're free to do that. The other way, maybe you trade out. Maybe you trade the 28th to get in the second round because you've lost your second round pick and you see better value there. So I think it opened up more and more options, if anything.
And just transition into a brand new mock draft that was on NFLDraftScout.com today, LeRon Landry projected to go 10th to the Atlanta Falcons, the safety that you mentioned. So right in that range.
Patrick Willis as well.
Patrick
right
Willis
11.
Projected to go 11th. And then cornerback Leon Hall, who's on their risers list from the combine, projected to go 12th. So right in that ballpark right there of a chance to move up. And, hey, safety, LeRon Landry, that is the one position. I mean, certainly their defense right now, at least their starting front seven, pretty good shape. The secondary, you know, is pretty good, but at safety they could use some youth and athleticism.
Well, if you look at it, the one position now that they have maybe a need for a starter would be receiver, right? I mean, would you guys agree with that?
Yeah,
that's a position everyone says you can get in the second and third round, and the guy might be as good as the first round pick.
Right. That one move, the Welker move, to me is the one that least affects the draft. Because
right, but what
I don't
I'm saying,
feel no, I'm agreeing with you. I do think that second or third round might be where they were thinking anyway.
Right, but I'm just saying if you look at say safety, while we say you can't count on Rodney Harrison, in all likelihood he starts the season as your starter, and you see what happens in terms of his health and what he has. Wide receiver is the only spot where you might say somebody you bring in is automatically better than Jabbar Gaffney or bumps Rishea Caldwell down. So, you know, a Landry guy, even if he is an impact, immediate quote-unquote player, he might not even have to start from day one. So I truly think it really has opened up just endless options for them on draft weekend if there's value there to take advantage of it.
And let's face it, it's Tuesday right now. They're 4 days into the free agency and draft period. They've already shored up some holes, and there's still a long way to go before the draft, and they may make other moves that affects the draft status. Just to let you know what NFLDraftScout.com has the Patriots projected with the 24th pick, the cornerback out of Pitt, Darrell Revis, not sure how to pronounce his name.
I think it's Darrell.
And then 28th, Justin Blaylock, the guard out of Texas. Interior offensive line, not necessarily a position that I've seen.
He plays tackle too.
He plays tackle too.
So he's one of those guys that goes all over.
Right, and so, you know, a little bit out of the box, you know, they do have they have several offensive linemen under contract. We'll see if that's an option. And I mentioned the rising and falling list from the combine. Leon Hall, a cornerback out of Michigan, is a riser. Mike Walker, sort of an intriguing guy, a wide receiver out of Central Florida. I know when we were at the combine, we were talking to his agent, who was certainly happy that he
did a good job because they got him on their riser list. One knew who he was heading into that.
He's doing something right. Now, a couple of their fallers, Damien Hughes, cornerback out of Cal. He was a guy that, a late first round projection before this. Now, you know, he may have slipped out of the first round. Dwayne Jarrett, a wide receiver whose stock has been dropping based on what he did or didn't do at the combine and other factors as well. So, hey, we're still 6 weeks, 7 weeks away from the draft. So the risers, the fallers, the mock drafts, all many more still to come. But as of right now, as free agency and the draft starts, the Patriots making some big moves for some veterans, and that may change their outlook, or as we seem to feel, not necessarily change their outlook too much on the draft, but we'll see how that all goes. Much more to come in future weeks. We'll start going position by position, looking ahead at the 2007 NFL Draft on these podcasts, and of course, roster reports coming your way every Friday, PFW in progress as well. That is going to do it for this edition of the Draft Prospect Review. For Paul Perillo, Andy Hart, and Tom Casale, I'm Brian Lowe. We go back to Laurie.
Thanks, guys. Check back again next week for a new Draft Prospect Review podcast, and keep checking Patriots.com for all our new podcasts in the off season. Thanks for listening, and go Pack!